The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Good morning and welcome to Senior Talk Radio down here at a lovely LIU Post on a nice rainy day. It's a nice day to listen to the radio. You might be home, you'd be able to listen to the radio, do a few things while you're at it. Do a little cleaning, do a little reading, etc., and maybe even hear a few words that we have to say. This is supported by Project Independence, which, just to give you a refresher as to what that means, Project Independence is a program supported and run by the Town of North Hempstead that provides services and programs to assist and support those in the older town category, which includes myself, who want to remain in their own homes as long as they would like and maybe age there until that's the end of the game. So along with this comes many things. The services that are provided are really, in my opinion, very much guidance. They provide guidance for lots of different things. Social work services, which we will get into a lot more in a little bit here, nursing, mundane things like maybe you have a light bulb that you can't change, you can't reach it, you can't get your arm overhead, toilet seat that has to be replaced, all these different things that run from one end of the spectrum to the other. Support for guidance on maybe applying for community Medicaid, or it could be as complicated as that, or it could be as simple as replacing a light bulb. So here we are to talk about that, and I think we probably should get into discussing the fact that we have a support team here. We have Christina Liu, who's the producer of this show, who's sitting in the corner just instructing everybody as to what to do. We have Ann Hirsch, who's a volunteer from Great Neck.
That's correct.
And Ann will be co-hosting, and I'm sure you were going to hear from Ann during the show. We have Victoria and Anthony. We have a double team today for engineering. I guess, you know, maybe we need a lot of help here. I don't know. But anyhow, the bottom line is, let's go right into who our first guest is, which is Audrey Thinstell. Audrey is a LCSW, which we will discuss a little bit further in the course of conversation, which basically, bottom line is, she's a social worker who works with Project Independence and covers primarily, I understand, the Mineola, Williston Park, Albertson / Roslyn areas. And maybe without a lot of ado here, we ought to just let Audrey explain what Audrey does as a social worker with Project Independence.
Okay. Good morning. So what I do many, many things with the Project Independence as the social worker. The main thing that I do is provide assessments. No matter what the phone call is, I get the call in from the 311, and I try to determine what the need is. It may be, like you said, as simple as changing a light bulb or getting your gutters cleaned, but sometimes that also leads to other things going on in the home. So I do a lot of home visits where I continue the assessment in discussing what's going on and how, you know, to really keep making sure that someone is as safe and as independent as possible as they age in their home.
Now, you're an LCSW. A lot of people really have no clue what that really means. I'm not too sure how important it is. I think what's important is I happen to have a granddaughter who will be getting her BSW in May, and she's an intern right now and has done geriatric and children's. My point being that there's a tremendous amount of training involved. You know, social workers sounds like, you know, there's an image that people had years ago about social workers would go to somebody's home and find out if they can get food stamps or qualify for welfare or whatever. And that's totally far from the facts. That's just one very small piece of what's involved. My opinion is that you and social workers and the nurses are really what make Project Independence what it is. The rest of us pontificate and we talk about things, but you are the ones who are on the front line and deal with lots of situations. Maybe you could kind of give us an example of some of the things that you run into, you know, primarily.
Okay, so first to answer about the LCSW?
Yeah, we're kind of shot with two questions here. But, I mean, I know there's like a BSW and LCSW and what's the other one?
Do you want me to answer that first?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, so first, you can't have the LCSW unless you've gone to graduate level social work. The BSW is a bachelor level.
Right.
Okay, so when after I graduated, at that time, because getting the license for social workers is still fairly new in our field, it didn't happen until, I don't remember exactly, but the early 2000s, where we became licensed. So when I graduated graduate school for social work, I took an exam right away, which gave me a CSW. I was a certified social worker. Okay. Then I basically grandfathered into getting the LCSW because I had enough years in supervision to obtain that credential. So I am able to make diagnosis using that. I have that enough clinical experience to make a diagnosis for someone, although that's not really my role per se and with Project Independence. But I do counseling
what kind of diagnosis?
On the side as well. Fridays, my day off, I do some counseling in people's homes, and that's, you know, really using my LCSW.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I have a list in front of me here of the things that this happens to be Social Work Month.
Yes.
Which is good. I think it should get a lot of recognition.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking at the list here. I'm going to shoot through it real quick because I don't know how you keep up with it. You do counseling, assessments, case management, bereavement support, caregiver support, advanced directives, benefit guidance. There's a long list of things that social workers do that people really don't understand. It's not like very low level. This is a complicated proposition. How do you handle that? It's not easy to keep up with that.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of different functions of a social worker, and there are a lot of different areas that you can work in. You know, the school, hospital, and the community. So obviously I've been doing more community social work. And it involves some of those things that you just listed. And a lot of it, too, for me, is really being resourceful. I can't do all of that. That's why there's a lot of different programs, fortunately, in the community and services that I will turn to and refer to. One example, concrete services and helping someone with entitlements. You know, sometimes I can do some of that, but we also need to reach out and get other professionals involved. One example, I helped a woman get onto community Medicaid recently in her 90s. Okay, was actually going to pay somebody over $2,000 just to do a community Medicaid application, which, you know, depending on the situation of the individual, some can be rather simple that I can handle. In this case, it was. So, I saved this woman over $2,000 and I helped her get all the papers together and get that sent in to get approved by Medicaid. And furthermore, she needed to set up what's called a supplemental needs trust or a special needs trust so that the excess money that she had, because Medicaid only allows a certain amount, would go into a trust, and she can still use that money to pay for her bills.
Now, if you're going to do that, is it mandatory that you have an elder law attorney present or to do it?
For that, not all the time. Oh. Now, this was done with Nassau Suffolk Law Services. So I guess, they're essentially elder law attorneys, but you don't have to go out and pay someone to set up the trust. I mean, they're a nonprofit, so they help set it up. There is a fee involved in setting up the trust, but you're not paying attorney fees.
Are there income cutoffs if you're going to use them versus, let's say, the elder law attorney?
I believe so. With I don't know Nassau, off the top of my head. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there is.
Because we have Ron Fatula, who frequently sitting in your seat. And I know I did with my mother the trusts with him. And it's very, very pricey, very costly to do it. So now that we're sitting in retrospect, because, you know, she has passed over 10 years ago, I would assume that there must have been a cutoff of some sort that made it necessary to go with a lawyer that charged a pretty hefty fee.
Right. So it really depends on one's assets. It can be very complicated, which I would then advise people to work with an elder law attorney. And we can give out referrals.
You know what I'm hearing here is that to call 311, get involved with Project Independence, you're eliminating lots of phone calls that you might have to make yourself because you have somebody who knows what they're doing. They're involved, in your case, in the social work world, which covers many, many different things, and they get the benefit of that at no cost just because you come in and assess the situation. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know the answer, you at least know where to go to get the answer,
correct,
which most people don't. I was there with my mother. Mm-hmm. She lived with us for 11 years. We were both working, had no clue what to do, where to go, whatever, and required a lot of phone calls and work. So this is a tremendous benefit that it's funny. A lot of people, you mention it, I tell friends of mine about it, and there's a reluctance. They think it's like a charity. It's not a charity. It's just a smart thing to do.
Since we are just discussing credentials and so on, is there a difference between what a social worker does with children versus what a social worker would do with an older population? And are the credentials any different?
It really depends what kind of setting I believe a social worker is working in. I think the skills are very transferable. The skills are similar. I think the approach might be different. Obviously, the resources needed to help are going to be different. But social work is social work. Your skills are listening, and that's a big skill, making the assessment to determine what the needs are to best help that person.
Can a person with a bachelor's degree actually practice, or not completely like you can with the graduate degree?
I think there are limits, but it's been a little while since I've looked at that, so I'm not 100%. Okay. I'm pretty sure you need a master's for many
I'm a speech pathologist. Mm-hmm. A bachelor's degree is sort of temporary until you get your grad degree, because that's the only way you can truly get your credentials put together.
In my granddaughter's case, she is going on as well, because otherwise,
right.
I think you're right.
You're
she's
limited
not going anywhere.
To what you really
correct.
Can do.
So it's like the intermittent step before you can get into truly being fully certified in the field. Okay, that's the same way we work.
Most people who go into social work go in because they want to make a lot of money and they want to end up being very wealthy, right? I'm just jesting.
Right, because I was going to say, at least on the school level, there are very few jobs, if any at all. It's very limited as to opportunities on that level.
Well, I think in the social work world nowadays, it has become, if you think about where you can go, there's corporations now that get involved with it, and hospitals, and lots of organizations. The market has become much bigger for where people can go for a job compared to years ago. My opinion, based on conversation with people, really. But I do believe it's a good career. I'm proud of the fact that my granddaughter has chosen to go that way. I think she's going to do well at it. You know, she's got empathy. She has a couple of issues of her own, which makes her relate a little bit better. And we are now at the gong time here. And that's it. Okay.